This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great. Also joining us this week, former Washington Capitol, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Leapin', Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. A little bit drier than a lot of other people this week.
Lou, it's always a pleasure having you. Gentlemen, just let you know and let our listeners know, coming up shortly after the first break will be Hockey Hall of Fame broadcaster Harry Neal, and bottom end of the hour, owner of Mint Inc. Inc., John Amendola. We said last Sunday, when we left the air last Sunday, we said next Sunday's show is going to be pretty interesting. Talking more about the Leafs, we didn't. If we had a late bets on, you know, I noticed on TV watching the game last night, like it's getting really preposterous because they're putting the lines up as the play while the play's going on. It's not even in between anymore at a stoppage break. They're skating on the ice. I can see the, I don't know which is a bet, whichever betting site advertises on Sportsnet now, as every time a goal is scored, they change the betting line right on the screen. Getting a little bit out of control. But if we had a late bet last Sunday, would you have even guessed what happened for the Toronto Maple Leafs this week?
No, every time we seem to bury Sheldon Keefe, he comes back all the time. You seem to bury him and then he comes back. I don't get it.
Well, he should give a big pat on the back to Samsonov, Sammy. I mean, it's amazing
Who would have thought that he would come back too?
God bless him. You know, and I have no problems with him as a human being. He seems like a really good kid and takes everything to heart. So, the fact that he had a successful week, I kind of love that. I like the human interest story. You know, why not? He had some difficult times, and you know he's riding high right now. I think we're all happy for him, Lou.
Let's ride the wave while we can, guys. It's one of those things that they're going into the All-Star break right now on a hot streak. I'm not sure they're happy in the position that they're in, but they couldn't have had a better road trip than they had coming off, knowing how tough it was going to be. Especially going through those five cities and then playing Winnipeg back-to-back, one of the better teams in the National Hockey League.
I mean, Winnipeg had a tough one against Seattle last Sunday night, and, you know, Samsonov, like to use the word, stole them that victory, but pretty close. And as you say, we're into the All-Star break. Leafs have no games this week. We've got All-Star weekend coming up in Toronto this year, coming up this weekend. So other than the four, I think it's Nylander, Marner, Matthews, and Riley. Correct me if I'm wrong. The rest of them got the week off. We've got Harry Neal on. We'll come back to the Leafs, have a little bit more of a go at this week and what this means for the Leafs for the rest of the year. And as you say, Naz, Sheldon Keefe seems to be secure for now, and it's good. We take no pleasure in the Leafs having difficulty, and we always have a smile on our faces when they do well. So good for them. Good for them for having a great week. Naz, we'd be remiss if we didn't wind up the Buffalo Bills season.
Wide right.
I mean, the football gods can be cruel, Nez. They can be cruel. If there's one result, I said, when that kick, of course, I'm referring to the game against Kansas City last Sunday down in Orchard Park. You know, I when that ball came off, and the wind pushed it to the right, and it's, you know, and Jim Nantz says wide right, I go, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. But I got to be honest with you. I didn't think that necessarily cost them the game. I wasn't as, I don't know what the word would be, but it wasn't as earth shattering, because with the amount of time that Mahomes had left, even if they connected on that field goal, I think KC, absent some miracle turnover of some kind, I think Mahomes drives it down. If he can do it in 13 seconds, he can certainly do it in a minute and a half. I thought they lost the game more so not by missing that field goal, Naz, but by when they had, you know, they had KC, for lack of a better term, they had them really where they wanted them. They had the ball, you know, in pretty close to the red zone in the last 2 minutes of the game, first down, Josh Allen, and they couldn't move it. I thought that the Bills needed to get a touchdown there if they were going to win the game. Kicking a field goal and missing it with a 130 left, I'm not so sure that cost them the game. I had every foresight that that Mahomes was going to drive it down the field. How'd you feel about it, Nez?
You're absolutely correct. They needed to score a touchdown on that series. Plus, you know, they Kansas City shut down the running game in the second half, if you notice. And the Bills couldn't run the ball, and that hurt them in the end. Really did.
Lou, I just want to echo Naz's thoughts there. I thought this was a game that Buffalo, I like to use the word very easily, because they're up against the defending Super Bowl champions. And, you know, you got Mahomes and some of those guys and Kelce and some of those other guys on the other side. You know, it's a tough nut to crack. But I thought this is a game that was within Buffalo's grasp. And echoing on Naz's thoughts, I thought that, what's his name? Is it Spagnuolo, the KC defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
I thought he made the adjustments at halftime. He didn't shut the Buffalo Bills offense down, but he certainly slowed it down. Lou, your thoughts?
He really did. And Steve Spagnuolo has been known to make great adjustments at halftime in favor of KC team. But let's look at the whole picture here. I think the game was really there for the taking, because KC almost delivered it on a silver platter twice to them. One on the fumble through the end zone when the KC was driving, that really could have put a dagger in the game, and two, the Josh Allen's fumble, where the ball bounced up and went right through the KC player's hand, right into the Buffalo Bills player's hand. And then at the end, I just thought that Josh Allen didn't read the proper schemes at KC, because he had a couple of guys that were wide open under where the ball was thrown, where instead of going for, he went for the grand slam instead of just going for a single or a double, trying to get it in closer.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to analyze it after the fact. Stats-wise, Bills had possession 37 minutes, Naz, against KC 22. But I thought one of the, perhaps the most telling statistic in that game, is Bills didn't have any plays more than 20 yards. They couldn't get the ball downfield. They couldn't get the one time when Stephon Diggs, I think it was a 50-yard pass, he had it in his hands and he couldn't grab it. So KC had 8 plays over 20 yards. It seemed like the yardage was coming easier for KC, and the Bills had to really grind for it. And when they needed it, when they really needed it, in the last 2 minutes of the game, it wasn't there, Naz.
Yeah, their defense, Buffalo's defense, faltered in the end. But, you know, they had so many injuries that it's got to catch up to them sooner or later, and it did, I think, in that game. And the Hamlin, the Hamlin run off the punt, fake punt. Oh, my God. Awful stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what he was. I don't know what you're thinking. Fortunately, that didn't cost them because what came right after that was the KC
fumble in the end zone. Yeah,
fumbling in the end zone. But you know, you're giving up. You know, field position in a game like this one, you're giving up 50 yards. You know, it's you know, it does make a difference. But overall, I say it wasn't as disappointed. And you go back to another point. One echo you just made, Naz. This Buffalo Bills team, you know, they had to overcome. I mean, their defense was devastated at the end of the year, and they're missing five full-time starters, but not even missing five starters off the defense. They're missing basically five of their most key guys. So, you know, you got to give them credit to they ran off that streak at the end of the year to get the number two seed. That wasn't easy to do. You know, you come up against the Super Bowl champion and, you know, Hall of Fame coach and Andy Reid and Spagnuolo, and your defense is sort of devastated. You know, it's pretty tough to pile on the Bills. I got a sense it was a game they could have won. But I wasn't, you know what, it wasn't as disappointing as the 13-second game, let's put it that way. Anyways, got go ahead, Ness.
Yeah, I think Baltimore today is going to beat up on Kansas City, for sure.
Your thoughts on that, Lou?
I wouldn't count the Chiefs. Though. You know, Steve Spagnuolo is going to be—he's going to dial up a defensive scheme there to shut down Lamar Jackson and his and all his weapons. But again, I think we're going to have a great ball game like we did last week. When you're going to see two of the better quarterbacks in all of football go head to head. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
Really quickly before we, you know what? Let's take it to break. We've got Hall of Fame broadcaster Harry Neal coming up, and let's take it there, and we'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when my wife accused me of having an affair. How could I tell her that I was hopelessly in love with extra thin crust pizza from Pizzaville? I didn't ask for this to happen. It was so thin. So delicate, so delicious. I can't bear to share it with my wife. She wants me to see a counsellor, but I don't want to share it with him either. Call Pizzaville for an extra thin crust pizza at 736-3636.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, live streaming on the internet at zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Hockey Hall of Fame broadcaster Harry Neal. Good morning, Harry. How are you this morning?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for joining us, Harry. I got a chance to chat with you a couple of days ago. You're doing well, and I know our listeners are always really keen to listen to you, and they're always keen to hear that you're doing well down in Western New York. Harry, we had a show last Sunday. The world was falling apart on the Toronto Maple Leafs. They had a bad result against Vancouver last Saturday night. The goaltending wasn't the greatest. Everybody was all over Sheldon Keefe, and it sort of reminded me of something, you know, you're known for quite a few of your sayings, and one of the most famous Harry Neal ones was, when a coach starts listening to the fans, he's going to be sitting next to them. Sheldon Keefe put a stamp on his coaching resume this week. At an opportune time, after a power play he didn't think went very well, he decided to bench his stars for the power play. What'd you think of that move, Harry?
Well, he's very frustrated that the power play isn't producing like they should, especially with the five guys they can put out there. I don't know whether any team's got a better five than Toronto has, but the power play is a funny little animal. You know, the goaltender on the other team can spoil the power play. When it goes 0-7, they might have had lots of chances, but they couldn't score. And so I think he tried to wake up the first power play group by putting the second group out there and threatening to put them out there a little more often if they produce.
Naz?
Harry, Austin Matthews is on pace to score 71 goals this season. What do you think of his play so far this year and so far as a Leaf in his career?
Well, if I was on the Toronto Maple Leafs, I would be glad he didn't save 71 pucks because he's going to get close to the 100 mark. And I don't know whether there's a more dangerous individual player as far as goals are concerned than Matthews. And he gets them when it's 5-1 and he gets them in overtime and gets them to tie the game. So he's one of the best, and I really enjoy watching him.
Lou?
Harry, what's the state of this Maple Leaf team in your eyes? What do you think they're missing going down the road here to make this team better and be successful in the playoffs?
Well, I think the playoffs successful teams are really good defensively. And if you're good defensively, your good defensive play is going to produce chances to score for. And that's what Toronto have. They got plenty of scoring opportunities and plenty of guys who can score, but they don't play well enough defensively in their own end of the rink. And the playoffs successful teams do that. They play well defensively, and that helps their offense because good defensive play gets the puck for you, and then away you go, and you get a chance to score. So I'm sure he's very frustrated at that, and it's something that's hard to practice. Because, you know, a lot of it's intensity and a desire and willing to block shots and hit guys and be hit.
Harry, we're going into an 8-day break for Leafs and a week break for most of the teams in the NHL. We have the All-Star weekend, and we talk about defense and, you know, turning it around. The Edmonton Oilers. I want your thoughts on this, Harry. They are now the second longest winning streak in NHL history, 16 games. They started abysmally. All-world talent up front, and in a lot of ways, some of the same criticisms of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Weak on defense and weak between the pipes. But they've turned it around. Changed coaching, brought Paul Coffey in. What have the Oilers done, and are they what they sort of have done? Is that a model for the Leafs going forward in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I'm not so sure the Leafs are any more talented than Edmonton, but they're a team that is a very talented team, and you've got to get all your players producing good efforts. They're not all going to score. They're not all going to block shots. They're not all going to not be tough. But you have to have a mixture, and the mixture has to play up to their capabilities and the way they usually play for you to win. And sometimes teams as talented as Toronto and as talented as Edmonton, and there are other examples in the league, until they decide to play like it's the playoffs and where your own end of the rink's equally important to the other team's end of the rink, then you're not going to be successful. And I think Edmonton has finally come to the conclusion that they're talented enough, but they've got to play without the puck a lot better, because that'll get the puck to them, and then they're dangerous. And Toronto's somewhat similar. I don't know whether Toronto's as talented as Edmonton, but they're close if they aren't.
Ness? Barry, the Buffalo Sabres are having some difficulty again this year. What is the issue down there in Buffalo?
Well, one problem is that they've got some real good young players, and it takes a while for young players, I don't care how good you were in junior or college or Europe, to play on an 82-game schedule under the circumstances the NHL provides for them. And Buffalo's got some nights they look like a team that'll make the playoffs and might do something in the playoffs. Other nights they don't. The problem is the players in their first, second, and maybe even third year in the league, and they're young, 20, 23, 24, have trouble playing every night. And Buffalo's problem is some nights they look like a team that's really going to be a good one. Other nights they can't play that way for whatever the reason. And it takes some time to mature, whether you're coming from the American League or junior or college or Europe. It's another league, and there's no other league in the world like it, and it asks you to play, do some things you wouldn't normally do and haven't normally done to get drafted and to start the team with the team in the National League.
Luke, Terry, how would you handle a week off here before the All-Star break? Would you give guys a few days off and then come back after the All-Star break? How would you handle it?
I think that you should give them a couple, 2 or 3 days off if you've got the 8 or 9 day break, which all teams do. And then you can have a couple of real tough practices leading up to the 2 nights or 1 night before you start up again. And some players, the rest is a perfect medicine for them. And for others, it isn't. But for the team as a whole, this is a tough schedule. And it gets tougher as the games get more important in February, March, and April, because every team wants to make the playoffs, and they're obviously not all going to do it. So I would say give them a holiday, punish them for 2 or 3 days, and then get back into the groove.
Harry, Leafs had a remarkable week this week, best week of the season. You can look at the guy in between the pipes and, you know, put a lot of credit there, but overall as a team, I thought they played a more structured game. What did you see that the Leafs did? Anything that, from your viewpoint, that you saw the Leafs did dramatically different this week? And what does this mean on a go-forward basis? Should Leaf fans, you know, start getting their spot on Bay Street ready?
Well, I think they're going to make the playoffs, that's for sure. But they've got a team that has to concentrate defensively and concentrate on being a team that's hard to play against. They don't need any more talent. They've got that. And when they play that way, their goaltender, who's taking a lot of the blame for their lack of what a lot of Toronto Maple Leaf fans say is success, but they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be one of the more difficult teams to play against, and they've got to make sure they've got the goaltender ready to play all the playoff games, because not too often in the playoffs do the teams switch goalies unless they have a tough time, and if they have a tough time, they're not going to be playing very long. So I would say that's what Toronto has to do. They've shown they can do it. The goaltender has shown he can be a part of the improved structure, but he needs help from the people in front of them defensively, not just the defensemen, but the forwards. And Toronto sometimes wants to get into an offensive game only, and if they can't score for whatever the reason, and some nights it's hard to score, defensively they're not very strong. So I think that's the question. Will they play as well without the puck as they often do with it?
Nez?
Harry, your thoughts on Patrick Waugh being the coach of the Islanders?
Well, I think it's a good idea. I mean, he's been a great player, and I don't know what his background after he's not played is as far as coaching's concerned. But there's no question he knows enough about the game. He played on some very good teams. He played for some very good coaches. And I think it's a great opportunity, and I'm cheering for him. I was always a fan of his, except when I coached against him.
Lou? Hey, I know this is a little early, but who do you think, from what you saw so far, is the team to beat in division here with the Leafs, the Rangers, and the East?
Well, I think Boston's the best team in the East, but the Florida Panthers have been successful in the playoffs, as have Tampa, and Toronto certainly got enough talent to do something, and Detroit's surprising everybody the way they're playing, and 55 points, it's not too bad. With Detroit, they might, that's not counting last night's game because too many of them were too late. But anyway, I think that's a good division, and any team could come out of it. I really like the way Boston plays. Their goal against is strong. Their goals for is, and they're hard to play against. And Florida is a very talented team. They score plenty of goals. Some nights you'd like to think that they could play better defensively, but either one of those teams in Tampa Bay, who knows how they're going to play. They've given up too many goals, that's for sure. And so it's going to be a real race to see who makes the playoffs in that division and who comes out of them in the right form.
Harry, a couple of teams, Canadian teams out west, have sort of surprised because they're fighting for, you know, being one of the top teams in the league, and you never would have thought that based on last year's performances. And so when the year started, I wouldn't have expected Vancouver and Winnipeg, to be up there fighting for the best team in the league. And now the Edmonton Oilers are on the way there. What happened in Winnipeg and Vancouver to sort of turn it around?
I think their young players matured into being pretty good players on a nightly basis. And it's one of the problems when you're trying to rebuild, and both those teams, I think, thought they were doing it anyway, and they were doing it. And now, starting as the players start to mature and get confident and realize they can be productive defensively and offensively in the league, and both teams have had excellent goaltending. So, you know, if your goaltender's on the ball, you can win games that probably offensively you shouldn't, but he keeps you alive and you score two or three goals and win.
Nance?
How would you handle the Pittsburgh Penguins' season? They look like they're not going to make the playoffs. And should they be sellers at the trade deadline, Harry?
Well, they've got to rebuild. They're like a lot of good teams. They go well into the players' careers that have been successful for them, and then those players can't produce because they're getting old and it's been a long haul, and the young players are tough to come by because you're drafting so low or so high in the draft because you've been so successful. And Pittsburgh's an example of a team that has to rebuild. And to rebuild, they're probably not going to be as good as they'd like to be, and the fans and the players, the coaches and management don't like that, but that's the way it goes, and it's not the only team that's had to do it.
We've been talking to Harry Neal. Harry, once again, thanks so much for joining us. It's always great hearing your voice, and I know our listeners are always thrilled to hear, and we wish you the best, and thank you for sharing your insights with us. It's always, always, always appreciated. We can't thank you enough.
Well, if you believe me, it's your fault.
Thank you so much, Harry. You haven't lost.
All right, pull me in a month. Friend. I hope I'm still alive.
You will be, and we'd be thrilled to call you in a month.
I see. Thanks,
Harry Neal. Harry Neal, thanks, Harry. Guys, before we take it to break, there was an incident. Brendan Gallagher got 5 games. Naz, I don't know if you've seen the hit. I've watched it about more times than I care. I know, Louie, I know you have looked at it. I don't know, Nats. Five games. Apparently, I don't know the nuances of the collective bargaining agreement. Apparently, these things are handled certain ways. But if the NHL offered Brendan Gallagher a telephone hearing as opposed to an in-person hearing, the maximum was five games, and what they gave him was five games. Apparently, if it's an in-person hearing, they can give him more. Why they decided to go with the lesser sentence, who knows. Naz, did you have an opportunity to see that hit?
I didn't, but I heard it was really bad and should have been in the 25-game range, right?
That was, Lou, I don't even know how to describe that. Other than I thought five games may have been the maximum they were entitled to give under the collective bargaining agreement, which tells me next time they negotiate the collective bargaining agreement, they should have a look at that clause. Apparently, they could have offered them an in-person hearing, which I think the max on those is eight games. I'm not entirely sure. But, Lou, I looked at that thing. It was brutal. It was uncalled for. It was not a hockey play. It was an attempt to injure. And he could very well have broke the Islander. I think it's was it Adam Pellick?
Adam Pellick.
Remember that? Yeah. Could have broke his neck, concussed. You know, anything could have happened there. Defenseless, targeted, five games. Are you kidding me, Lou?
I think it's just I hate to say it's a disgrace to hockey the way they are calling these penalties and giving out the so-called whatever you want to call it there. It's the suspensions. It was a blatant, blindsided elbow to a player's head. And if you look at even last night's game against Winnipeg, the refereeing, this hockey style, I really don't know what's happening, whether they're becoming too soft or whatever, but they've got to do something about it because somebody's definitely going to get hurt. Gallagher, I'm not even sure if it was his first time offending or not.
It was
the cheapest shot that I've ever seen anybody.
Yeah, well, they made a big deal out of the fact that it was the first time he ever did anything like this. And I'm saying I really could care less whether it was his first time or fifth time. He could have killed the guy, which may be overstating it somewhat, but you know, could have paralyzed them. You know, an elbow to somebody's head when they're skating and you're skating at a high rate of speed and the other player ain't looking. He snapped his neck like 180 degrees the other way. And I'm saying that's five games. And I understand the rule. I mean, I get it. That just tells me you got to change the rule. I would have. And you know, if you're going to do something like that, don't give me whether it's first time, second time, or third time. You know, there's lingering effects. As you can destroy somebody's career. I remember that when Tyler, what was it? Not Tyler Bertuzzi. Todd Bertuzzi destroyed. Was it Steve Moore?
Steve Moore, correct.
It destroyed his career. Ran his face into the ice, and I didn't see this as all that different, to be honest with you. And if I recall correctly, Bertuzzi got half a season for that, didn't he? Or certainly a hell of a lot more than five games. So
I think it was 50 games he got, Paulie.
Yeah. I what I saw, and you know what? I get the part that, you know, people are going to criticize me. Oh, you didn't play in the NHL, or you didn't do this, or, you know, you're just a fan, and you're just watching, and you don't understand hockey, and blah, blah, blah. I understand how somebody's career can get ruined, and I understand how somebody can be permanently paralyzed. You snap somebody's neck like that, man. God help us, really. And that's five games. And it's not even about Gallagher. It's like, you got to send a message. You know, you got to send a message, guys. I don't know. Am I missing it, Lou? Am I being overly strong in my assessment?
you're a former player. You know, probably you saw some stuff similar to this on the ice, although that's 30 years ago. It was a different culture back then. Your last reaction before we go to break, Luke?
Again, well, it was disgusting. I can't believe that he did get five games, and especially coming from such a hard nosed, honest player like Gallagher. I know he's had his issues playing on the right side of the game sometimes, but it's a blatant elbow, and you look at sometimes the equipment that these guys have on, and if he hit the guy on the nose, not literally. But if you hit him right in the jaw there, you can very, very seriously injure him. And I'm even scared that some guy, some player might even file a lawsuit on something like that.
Well, it's happened in the past. I mean, I guess a lot of it depends on the extent. I don't know the extent of the player's injuries, Adam Pellick. But given the act, anything, and if he didn't get seriously injured, it's just everybody's fortunate, and thankfully, I don't know. He was on the ice for quite a bit. So if he didn't get seriously injured, that's just fortuitous. That's just lucky, because anything could have happened there. Anyways, on that note, hopefully the NHL, next time they renegotiate the collective bargaining agreement, man, don't put a five-game cap on, or whatever the caps are. You've got to take care of stuff like this. On that note, we're going to take the break. We're going to come back with the owner of Mint Inc., John Amendola. We'll be right back.
Any team worth cheering for has fans worth listening to. A super fan of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour is MDF Mechanical, who sends a big shout-out to Naz and Wally on 10 years of memorable sports talk. MDF Mechanical speaks from experience in stating that a decade is a milestone worth marking. They themselves are celebrating over 35 years in the plumbing, HVAC, and mechanical design build contracting business. From MDF Mechanical to Naz and Wally, the best sports team on radio, thank you for 10 years of calling it the way you see it.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we realised that our extra large pizza is 2 whole inches longer than the so-called extra large from the big pizza conglomerates. How do they even call theirs extra large when Pizzaville gives you 18 whopping inches, steaming hot? Because, let's be honest, who wouldn't want 2 more inches?
Pizzaville Stone-Baked Pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM on the internet at zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour our good friend, the owner of Mint Inc., and one of the great sports card impresarios in the world, I think, John Amendola. How are you, John?
I'm good, Wally. How are you this morning?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, listen, John, Leafs are in a little bit of a roll the last week or so. Does that mean all the Leaf rookie cards are all worth more money today?
So, sorry about that, Walter. My phone wasn't connecting there. Austin Matthews is out of control. So yeah, there's always a demand for Leafs and Jays and Raptors because it's the city, you know. So as much as Matthews is on a tear, you know, the question I heard yesterday is still about the goaltending and the defense. So good old Toronto fans, it's never going to be good enough unless we're actually out doing the Raptors parade.
Anyways, we're on a high now, John. Don't bring us down.
I'm not trying to bring anybody down here. I'm just trying saying it how it is.
Yeah, you're being a realist. Anyways,
I'm good at that.
Don't throw the truth when we got eight days to sit on this. So let's take advantage of that, especially after having to deal with the Buffalo Bills. Anyways, just before I turn it over to Naz, I just want to ask Austin Matthews, what is his rookie card? Which particular set? Which particular year? And what's it worth?
2016 Upper Deck and the Young Guns card. And a PSA 10 will be anywhere from, you know, 13, 14. It could be as high as 1700, 1800. It's hit us even higher before. So the card value will go up and down based on, you know, two most important factors are obviously his performance and the team's performance. And then of course, you know, supply and demand, more people come in the space, the kid keeps flying, more people want the cards, you know, the price comes up. But Matthews, Willie, Marner, these guys, the cards, they sell pretty quickly.
Okay. Naz.
John, what would a Taylor Swift card be worth?
So my little cousin, and she's 13 years old, and we're betting on the, and she says, oh, you know, the Swifties, she's a Swiftie and she likes the Chiefs. And I'm just like, I don't know, but Taylor Swift is, I don't know what to tell you, Naz. I'll tell you this much. There's a lot more people watching football than there was a few weeks ago.
Absolutely.
I don't know how much of that is Taylor Swift, or I don't know how much of it is just that the matchups have been pretty good.
The playoffs have been amazing. I'm really looking forward to today. I'm hoping Detroit and Baltimore could pull it off.
I think the athleticism of the quarterbacks nowadays is so astounding that, you know, you get a matchup, Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes, or Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, that those are pretty competitive. Those are compelling, Taylor Swift or no Taylor Swift. You're getting record numbers tuning in to watch some of these incredible athletes perform. So, by the way, does Taylor Swift actually have a card?
No, you know what? She is in some cards. Leaf will have Leaf will have her in some autos. There's a brand of cards that comes out. Excuse me, Pop Century. So it's all kinds, old, new, young. Last night on my show, the guys were chasing Donald Trump autos.
Still, you got
to. Well, he's back on top again now because he's in the race again. But yeah, there's a brand that puts out every election puts out a card called a brand of called card Decision. So there'll be Decision 2024.
Yeah,
and it's basically the presidential candidates, some of the senators and governors and other candidates and past presidents. And but, you know, notwithstanding from a personality point of view, just from a factual point of view, you don't find Donald Trump autographs and you know, JFK hair follicles just everywhere. So there's definitely some really unique stuff out there in the world of trading cards. That's for sure.
Unbelievable. Anyways, I'm going to turn it over to Lou. Before I do, I know Lou's got a rookie card. Has that been going up in value? But I will tell you, Lou, with all the greatest respect, your rookie card's actually an attractive card. I kind of like it. They took a good shot of you.
He's on the air. It goes up. Problem with Lou's card is from the time Lou played, the production was a little higher and they only had a few of the sets. So the problem isn't, you know, there's just a lot of Lou rookie cards out there.
Okay,
I got
Lou,
I'll find one for you really quickly before Lou. So really awesome, actually. It's all over the news this week. In late November, early December, the buyer, head consignor from Heritage Auctions, gets on a plane to northern Saskatchewan, where a gentleman has a case of Wayne Gretzky rookie card boxes that he put in his closet 45 years ago.
I saw that this morning.
So you're at about $250,000 a box. So imagine, Wally, we go down to your basement and you find this box that you don't remember because you bought it one day and Rita started yelling at you and you forgot about it. And here we are 40 years later, the box is worth about $3 million.
I can assure you, John, I can assure you there are no hidden boxes.
No Wayne Gretzky boxes in here.
No Wayne Gretzky's. And I'd be more interested in unopened Parker's boxes from the early.
Yeah,
60s.
Yeah, even more. On Saturday night, a 63 Tops baseball box did 330 US.
And if I did have any, I guarantee you my mother threw them away a long time ago.
It's amazing, though, you know, you hear about these stories, what you're going to find in your attic. And it's, I hear about it on a weekly basis. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Lou, I'll turn it over to you.
Mike, we mainly talk about hockey players and cars like for Connor Bedard and Austin Matthews. What's out there right now, I would say, in the basketball world, in the football world, or even in the baseball world, in card values, talking about the young players that are coming in, the young superstars that are coming in nowadays?
Well, it's just like hockey. You know, it's the same thing. You're really people are collecting two things when they're collecting. You know, they're going after the young rookies and they're going after the great ones. So, you know, no different than hockey right now. You know, for hockey, Bedard is crazy. Anything with Bedard that's in or that's coming out. Basketball, Wemby, football, C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams. There's a whole bunch of great young talent there. Baseball's loaded. The thing with baseball, it gets really confusing because there's products that come out every year, Bowman Draft, and it's one of the top products in the world. And you're literally, you know, pulling cards of high schoolers. So, you know, imagine you're pulling a Mike Trout card and he's 16 and a couple of years later. So Jason Dominguez cards have been out for a couple of years, and this year will now be his official rookie card because he's actually played in the bigs. But there's collectors that have been chasing Jason Dominguez cards for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So baseball gets really, really, really intense. I mean, again, if you understand the sport, you understand how deep the farm system goes. Same thing with basketball. You know, next year is going to be interesting. This year has been crazy because, you know, all these major sports are loaded with generational talent. Again, C.J. Stroud, Wemby, Bedard. You know, next year, it's interesting to see what's going to happen because there's nobody really standing out. You know, a lot of these kids, we've been talking about Bedard and Wemby and Jason Dominguez for years. So that it's the same thing, Lou. So if you know there's some up-and-coming talent in basketball and football or baseball in the next couple of years, you know, shoot me a text and let's get buying.
We're talking to John Amendola, the owner of Mint Ink. John, I want to make sure I get this in before we always run out of time at the end, and we've got about 7 minutes left. So let's get it in now. You've got a new location. Tell our listeners everything that Mint Ink's up to, all your breaks after dark. Going on? You got some contacts in Florida. What's going on with Mint Ink?
We're making moves. We're doing the best we can to grow right now. So we're a couple weeks away from opening our new location in Vaughan. We built a brand new large 3,000 square foot facility that's an, sort of an event center. So it's got a retail component and a studio component and a great big event room. We had 120 people there on Friday night. We run you know, these great big community events and trade nights and trade shows and all that stuff. And we're not done there. We're going to continue to build out the space, and we're going to have you know, it's going to be amazing. Cards, events, like a social club, lounge, all that kind of great stuff. It's just a really, really, really fun place to be. We still have our Toronto location, and we're looking to expand. I'm not going to talk about where or when, but we're making lots of moves this year. We've also very happy to announce, since the last time I've been on your show, we are now the official Canadian partner for Golden Auctions. So we're dialed right in. If you saw The King of Collectibles on Netflix, we're dialed right in with them there. And yeah, we just got back from a conference in LA with some great exciting hockey stuff. Yep, hockey conferences in California, that's a real thing. And we're just really, really, really excited, whether it be hockey cards, Pokemon cards, football, baseball, hockey sticks, you know, whatever it is, we're just really, really, really excited to keep bringing the ultimate experience in the hobby space to people. And I listened to the commercial while I was waiting, and you know what? For all your listeners, old, young, new, veterans, rookies, whatever, we're always buying, we're always trading, and most importantly, we're always on the hunt. So if you're looking for something extra special and you can't find it or you need anything like that, we have guys that are really good at all that stuff as well. We really try to just be a one-stop shop, if you will.
Naz?
How much is the Tom Brady baseball card worth with the extra?
So amazing. I'm so glad you asked, because we just sent one to Golden Auction. So for those of you that just heard Naz say Tom Brady baseball, Fanatics came out with a really cool marketing incentive. They put a Tom Brady Expos card in the Bowman product this year. The Bowman product is the one I was talking about earlier. So it's draft product. So it's Tom Brady drafted by the Expos with an, you know, he's photoshopped on something, fine, whatever. And it's basically, there's 50 gold autographs. And they're selling a PSA 10 is around 40,000 American, and 9 is about 20. And there's one out there where it's personally inscribed, number 12 of 50. Obviously, Tom Brady's number 12. Everybody knows that. And it says, if baseball doesn't work out, there's always football. There's a $500,000 U.S. bounty on that card right now. Wow. If somebody pulls that card, there's a buyer out there at $500,000 US dollars. So it's really cool. The regular versions are super hot as well. Like, you can't just go buy one for a couple of dollars. But yeah, the limited autographs, 10, 20 plus thousand, and $500,000 bounty. So Fanatics is really up the level of marketing in the space. So they just released something the other day called the Top 10, or the 10. And basically that's what it is. It's 10 really awesome cards that they've created that are in all kinds of different packs and series, and they're offering these bounties. So you're seeing a lot of that now too. You know, the big card will come out, and whether it's a big collector or a manufacturer, you know, they're going to come out and say, if you hit that, Post Malone, really quickly, I'll leave you with last summer in Magic the Gathering, which is a card game that's been around for 30 years. It's older than Pokemon, and it's the original trading card game. They put a one-of-one Lord of the Rings card in. So, you know, it was literally the ring that the little monster's trying to get the whole movie. A guy in Whitby hit it. Went downtown Toronto after work, bought a box of cards for $100, hit this card. Post Malone got on a plane, came here, and paid the guy $2.7 million for the card.
Wow.
So you're starting to see a lot of that. It's really become a global thing. It's really become a phenomenal thing. You know, me and you talk about this forever, Wally. Back in the day when you collected, when I collected, it was much more, you know, back room, quiet, old boys club, if you will. And now it's for everybody, and it's everywhere.
Let me talk on that point of, you know, like when we collected, man, it's too bad my mother threw away most of what I had.
You and everybody else.
Jeez. But talking about it's a worldwide phenomenon, and it's not necessarily an old boys club. There's a new sport. I wouldn't call it a new sport, but a new professional league, the Women's Professional League, which I can't say that I've become a big fan of it just yet. But, you know, it's got a really passionate niche audience. Can you foresee a market in cards?
Upper Deck will definitely, there's a market for everything. Pickleball cards are out this year. I only ordered one box, but bowling just came out. And I don't know about you, but But I love to hear 180. So I wouldn't be surprised if you saw, you know, there's this 16-year-old kid just tearing up the dart scene right now. I love darts. People underestimate darts.
Oh,
so
I saw that guy. I saw that kid on
TV.
So the other
good.
I said that was the most compelling theater I've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
I never thought I'd be interested.
And he doesn't look 16. You know, he looks like a 50-year-old man. Yeah. So, but yeah, you'll see that.
It's not even him. It's the reaction of the fans.
Yeah,
there's thousands and thousands of people watching a guy throw a dart at a board.
It's amazing. So you're going to see a guy like that. You'll see his autograph end up in a product called Leaf. They go out and they get all these random one-off athletes and famous people. But yeah, I'm sure Upper Deck will do something for women's hockey. Tops put out, women's soccer this year went really well, and Panini does put out WNBA products. So the women's leagues, even Australia, believe it or not, has a huge professional sport leagues. And same thing, there was even a product last year with all the top Australian athletes. I didn't even know that, but Australia has three or four major, you know, pro sports leagues, you know, basketball and lacrosse and stuff. So yeah, there's a card for everything. When I saw bowling on the manifest, I said, yeah, that might be a little too much for me, but I have to buy a box just because it's great content.
Nez, maybe we can get an Angelo's rookie card.
That's right, an Angelo. Through Elaine from Buffalo.
I'll let you know what we get. I'm really excited to open the bowling box.
You're talking to an ex-bowler here, John.
I love it. Let's go bowling, Nez. Lucky strike. Let's get it.
Anyways, John, I got to let you go. My producer's going nuts on
you. A pleasure chatting with you, gentlemen, always. Have a great Sunday, and let's go Ravens.
I never thought Nin Angelo would come into this conversation.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to let you know when I get the bowling box, Wally, I'll shoot you a text. Maybe I'll let you guys open it on the show.
Anyways, Owen's giving me the sign.
Have a great Sunday.
Thanks, John. And Lou, thanks as always. We really appreciate your contributions to the show. Can't do it without you. And Nez, as always, I'll give you the last word.
Whatever happened to Dennis Duperrey?
We'll have to Google that and figure it out. To all our listeners, have a fantastic week. Be safe, and we'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.